Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Now, one of the many consequences of the global pandemic has been the cancellation of huge events. In the last few weeks, we've seen Glastonbury, Wimbledon, the Olympics, and even the Premier League be suspended or called off entirely. It's a side of events that a lot of people don't think about or see, but it's a huge operation to call one off. One of the first and closest to home to be cancelled, I was going to say, was the St Patrick's Day Festival. It's the St Patrick's Festival, of course, a heck of a lot more than just a day. And its CEO, Susan Kirby, joins me now to tell me what exactly happens when a huge event is cancelled. Susan, welcome to the programme. Thanks for talking to us.
Hi, Dave.
Are you all right? Are you whatever the word is, are you self-isolating, etc., yeah?
Self-quarantined, yeah.
Self-quarantined, right, okay. Very good. Actually, there is that word, whatever it is, cocooning. And cocooning is only for really old people, is it?
I think so. I think it's been advised for people of a certain maturity.
Sorry, you have a much better way of putting it. Can I go back on that? For people of a certain maturity, is the word cocooning? Anyway, sorry, yeah. let's just talk about where we are here, because people should understand the St. Patrick's Day Festival goes far beyond the parade in terms of participants and events, doesn't it? There's loads of things.
Yeah, there is. So, it's a huge event. It's a major international event. And the festival that I'm responsible for is the National Festival, but predominantly takes place here in Dublin. People would know us for those big figurehead events. So everybody was focused on the parade. And for obvious reasons, it's a really huge event. It's got hundreds of thousands of live on-street audience and participants. But there's a full kind of multidisciplinary arts programme there as well. It's run, this year was programmed for 5 days. So, yes, a considerable undertaking to plan and run, but also then as well to cancel, unfortunately.
Right. And also there's over 100 offshoot events in terms of St. Patrick's, music, poetry, history, heritage, food, sport, whatever it happens to be. Just on that note, that just like those who you know were impacted by it. It was closed down, if you like, in the best interest of public health. And tourism and business groups gave the quote and said they were disappointed, but it's understandable. There's a big difference. If that was today, people would say, yeah, absolutely. But I mean, 3 weeks ago was a long time, wasn't it?
Yeah, time is just altered, I think, for us all. So I was just doing the maths on it there. It's 13 working days since the festival was concluded, if you will. So that seems like just months ago in all our heads. This all kind of started, I think, from the first Irish case was reported on the 28th of February, which again seems like a world ago. But really, actually, when you count it down and look at the dates, it's all happened in a really short window. I should say, though, I think everybody is, you know, of the same mind that absolutely the right decisions were made. Very difficult decisions, and a lot of thought went into them all, but absolutely, of course, the right decisions were made. Unfortunately, though, a lot of people are impacted. What will happen, what has happened, is that, as we all know, you know, Edinburgh cancelled, I think it was it yesterday or the day before, all the Edinburgh festivals were cancelled. You know, you mentioned there as well, there's Wimbledon will be cancelled this year. There's really significant events that won't go ahead. So, you know, our sympathy and solidarity to them all.
Well, like what you were doing, I mean, the parade brings like a capital city of a country to a standstill. And like there's parade teams and participants and marching bands and artists and makers and community groups and volunteers and broadcast, production, security, facilities, everything else as well. When you're planning an event like St. Patrick's Festival, do you prepare for the event that the whole thing might be cancelled?
You do. You have it. It's a highly professionalised sector, and Ireland does it particularly well, I would say. But we're all guided by an event management plan, which is a significant document which really prescribes how it will be delivered, and it does outline similarly how you would the criteria and the scenarios around altering it or cancelling it. So I have to say that this has been. Probably, I've cancelled events before, not many actually, but about 2 years ago was it, we had the snow and we had to cancel an event, very significant, a day, 2 days of events that we had to cancel. So we've done it before, but I don't think any of us have experienced the widespread nature of this level of cancellation, obviously.
Looking back to the past, and it sounds like the distant past, but it's just a few weeks ago, and I remember there was like about 10 or 12 or maybe even 14 days before the Ireland-Italy rugby match, it was cancelled. And people were going, well, hold on a second, that's in 2 weeks' time. Like, that's a bit sort of jumping the gun. Do we really need to cancel that? All that sort of thing. Is that the first inkling you might have got of, uh-oh, this could be trouble for us too?
Well, we were looking at coronavirus, not in particular detail, if you will, but certainly our radar has become very kind of attuned to everything from weather to, you know, different disruptions. You know, risk registers would show you different disruptions that could happen. We were looking and talking about coronavirus, if you want to say, in a fairly informal manner back in December,
right.
Late December. January came into focus, and certainly when it was kind of being reported pretty widespread in Italy, it was definitely on our radar. I think everybody knows that kind of concurrently, when they started talking about the IRFU cancelling the Italy game, we were mentioned in the same breath. And I thought that was really interesting, actually, that the Irish public had such a kind of, they were so attuned to the scale of our operations that they were straight away saying, oh, what about that? You know, so that was really interesting. And I think everybody knows that, you know, it's such a significant event, not just in terms of the scale and the practicality of the event, almost, which was really interesting to me as well, in terms of how it resonates with us as a people and as a global statement. It's so important. So, yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for how we consider the event in the future.
And yeah, and like you're about at the forefront of something else as well, because when you think of the St. Patrick's Week, it is the beginning of maybe 5 months where tourism really kicks in and makes it serious money. If just let's say it makes it serious money in you know, half the year. And this is the beginning of it all in some ways. And right at the beginning, the whole thing got tripped up. I mean, tourism and business groups, as I mentioned earlier on, who said they were disappointed, but completely understandable. The Irish Tourist Industry Confederation, the economic fallout is stark beyond reason, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's. I would see that the festival is, it's widely considered that it's the opening of the tourism season for Ireland. So it's, you know, it's spring, we're coming out of the darkness, and it's a statement of our identity and celebration of our national holiday, but it's also a global statement. So, yeah, there was a huge impact in terms of, you know, everyone from hoteliers to the pubs to the restaurants. They've been really frozen, essentially. Their business has been frozen. So I know they're doing a lot of work around recovery and looking to kickstart the industry again. So certainly we'll be really keen to be involved in all that. But I think we sit in a really interesting place in that we are also we're one of the leaders in the sector in terms of events and festivals. And again, that's a whole other sector that's just been frozen in time.
Yeah, but the strange thing is,
But
the strange thing about St. Patrick's Day stuff and St. Patrick's Week and everything else around it is the fact that, you know, you can cancel something or you can defer something. It's not like you can defer St. Patrick's Day. If it doesn't happen on the 17th of March, you're out.
Yeah, it did. It was cancelled before, or rather postponed before, with foot and mouth, and it happened again in the May. It was a slightly, obviously, different version of it. What I found really interesting was you can cancel an event, but you can't cancel the sentiment. And that was not cancelled. If anything, it was kind of energised, and people did, I think RTE did a blinder and kind of, you know, virtual parades and people flying the flag and putting out their kids' art and doing their own little parades. I loved all of that. I thought that was really inspiring. It was really cool. So
The
sentiment still was there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It might have been from somebody's kitchen, but it was still there. And we still have our flag flying outside. And I know I see loads of Irish houses that do. So
yeah, one of the problems was that it was called off in enough time for tourists to even cancel coming, which in one way was a shame, but another way, obviously, the right thing to do is in the best interest of public health, etc. What about any emerging measures to support the tourism, the hospitality sectors? Are there discussions going on, even as we speak, in terms of VAT payment deferrals and reduction in VAT rates from down to 9% and all that kind of stuff, waiving local authority rates? Are you in them? Do you talk about all those kind of things, or is that for somebody else?
We do. I suppose, as I say, we have a unique position. We're a major cultural festival that and as most festivals do, they're a significant contributor to the economy, usually through tourism. So we actually kind of sit on a crossroads of a couple of different sectors, as I say, events, the cultural sector, tourism. They're all looking for and discussing and working collaboratively with government now around, okay, how do we deal with this in the immediate as an emergency package? And then also, how and when can we get involved in recovery?
I
think they're all really critical for that.
Let's take a look at what you had to do. When it became clear that the event this size can no longer go ahead, what exactly happens? Who did you pick up the phone to first?
This one, so normally you would be in a position to call this with, according to your event management plan, with your own production teams and the relevant authorities. So in this case, it probably would have been Dublin City Council, senior statutory agencies, so Gardaí, HSE, that type of engagement where you would stand down an event. In this case, because the risk assessment required very specialist contribution that came from the Department of Health and the NFET, I think, the Emergency Task Force Group. So we had that engagement with them, and basically the decision was made that given the scale of the events and the level of risk, what happened was all our mass gathering events were cancelled. So on, I think it was the Monday or the Tuesday, we cancelled all of our mass gathering events. So that would have been for us actually 5 events, not just Parade.
Yeah.
So Festival Village was gone, the Treasure Hunt, the Cayley, and the Parade, obviously. And then that following Friday, we had to cancel all of the cultural events. So over 100 events were then subsequently also cancelled. So, yeah, it's been a considerable challenge standing all that down. But I have to say, a huge thank you and kind of recognition to everybody, because I always say the festival is the sum of its parts, and that means that, it takes kind of a village to get it off the ground. It has, the support that has come to the festival at this time has been incredible as well. So people have been really kind of pragmatic and working with us.
And as you say, a measured approach in these situations is key to the whole success of the thing, and the professionalism of the events industry, shone big time. But one of the reasons for all that might be, was this cancellation easier than other scenarios because of the global nature of this threat? I mean, did you encounter a lot of understanding from the stakeholders?
Yeah, we did. We would have. So, we were in an active engagement. We didn't start talking to people just when this, when the announcements were made. We've been talking to them for 2-3 weeks. And we've been engaged at a very high level into government around the decision. So we got a lot of support, but we also got a lot of support and understanding from our volunteers, our community groups. We commissioned pageants all over Ireland. There's a huge impact to all the artists that we had commissioned and booked. Everybody's, we're trying to all work together. We all need one another to survive, to go into the next, to see ourselves through this kind of fallow, kind of frozen time and then re-emerge. So we want those artists and those performers and those companies and those suppliers and everyone from, the guy who does the marquees to the artist to be there this time next year, because they're all professionals and we all need to be there, and they need us as well. They
and the sponsors as well. Many of those have said that they will agree to be on board next year as well. Very
they're
important.
Really, yeah,
and this
really
is a time
cool.
of massive economic and social upheaval, I can tell you. So, it's great to know all that. But just finally then, for next year, the plan for 2021, there is a plan in place. And are there any positives you can take from this thing from the last few weeks?
It's been really difficult. I suppose the festival at its core and at its essence celebrates the best of Irish. And I think we've seen a lot of that, the pride that we can all take in what we're all calling the frontline workers, but that could be, a 17-year-old going to work in a supermarket or a ICU consultant. So hats off to them all. We owe them such a debt. I think we've maybe gotten a chance to reevaluate what do we really value? How do we want to, frame ourselves as a society? That's been really interesting.
Indeed.
It's for us as a festival, it's been really warming as well, to get that to be projected back from everybody, how they, you know, how they would miss it, and also what they, you know, the, how successful they want
Indeed.
It to be next
Well, listen,
year.
Susan, thanks a million for talking to us in the programme today. It's Susan Kirby, the CEO
Thank
of the
you.
St. Patrick's Festival. Thanks a million, as I say, for joining us on the programme today.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.